A U.S. military helicopter crashed today in northeastern Afghanistan, killing two of the seven Marines on board. Pentagon sources say the other Marines received moderate injuries but were not seriously hurt. The helicopter was resupplying forces hunting for al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden and Taliban chief Mullah Mohammed Omar. Military sources said investigations were continuing into the cause of the crash. Commander Frank Merriman is spokesperson for the U.S. Central Command in Tampa.
At this time, we don't know the cause of the crash. It is under investigation at this time, although it does not appear that enemy fire was the cause.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said today the hunt for Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar would continue, and efforts to close down international terrorist networks would go on. As U.S. forces continue their operations within Afghanistan, the country's new interim government faces its own challenges. And foremost among these is that of disarming a population that has carried weapons through decades of armed conflict. The leaders of Afghanistan's second largest city, Kandahar, have recently expanded their efforts to disarm people. Police have set up checkpoints and are stopping cars and searching for guns. They're trying to confiscate and destroy some of the weapons that flood the country, including those of former Taliban soldiers. But it'll be harder to destroy the memories of Taliban rule in Kandahar. NPR Steve Inskeep reports on the Taliban's enduring influence.
Kandahar's new police chief says his hometown has changed. General Mohammed Akram left here 7 years ago when the Taliban took over. A few weeks ago, he returned with the army that drove the Taliban away.
When I left Kandahar 7 years ago, I left people who were enjoying their lives. They listened to music and hired bands to play at weddings. But now that I've come back, people seem like strangers. They're still afraid of the Taliban. They won't even turn on the radio or play a cassette. And I myself feel like a stranger here. I feel like I haven't come back to Kandahar.
The Taliban may be out of power, but they're not exactly gone. Occasionally, residents report spotting mid-level Taliban officials lurking around town, and several of the most senior Taliban officials may not be far away. In an interview, Kandahar Governor Gul Aga Sharzai acknowledged several Taliban leaders may still be hiding in his province. Although it's hard to track them down, it's easy to find their legacy. Just visit the soccer field on the edge of town. These days, children kick a soccer ball across the dead grass of the Kandahar Sports Stadium. Several thousand concrete seats encircle the soccer field. Like an American stadium, it has a corporate sponsor. A billboard for Yamaha motorcycles rises over the seats. Until a few weeks ago, the Taliban conducted public executions here. Gunmen shot their victims in front of one of the soccer goals. Thousands of people came to watch. Sometimes they filled every seat in the stadium, except the seats directly behind the soccer goal. Nobody sat there in case the gunman missed. Stand on this field for a few minutes, and almost anybody passing by will start describing what he saw here. One man touches the soccer goal and remembers the day the Taliban tied two women to it, one to each goalpost. They were accused of adultery. The gunman gave the women time to beg for mercy before killing them. Bashid Ahmad says he came here to watch the Taliban kill an accused thief. Bashid is 15 years old. Through an interpreter, he says he was hoping to learn a lesson.
It will be a lesson for us not to thief or not to be burglar in the future.
Did someone tell you to come, or were you eager to come on your own?
I myself came.
Many people say they chose to come. Kandahar is full of unemployed people desperate for diversion. Some say they were disgusted and never returned, while others became repeat customers. And many did learn lessons, including Mohammed Dawood.
We were seeing in the stadium, we can say, the dead bodies and some kind of, what we can say, the ceremonies of cutting the hands. So these were the things that it can impress on the mind of a person.
Dawood says the Taliban made him feel like a criminal. Though they're out of power, he has trouble shaking off their rules. He says he loves Afghan music, but he hasn't bought any of the cassettes that are once again for sale on the street. He says he fears the Taliban might return, and he wonders if his relatives would tell on him. Dawood did trim his beard, but decided to wait before shaving it entirely. He's also waiting to send his daughter to school for the first time.
I want to send her to any kind of school. So she is not in school. We call Maktab because of afraid from them.
Some Kandaharis are trying to return to normal life. Last week, they used the sports stadium for its original purpose. They played a soccer game. A local team called Hawad wore red uniforms and faced a team called Swanan in yellow. Before the match, each team cheered and shook hands in sportsmanlike fashion. A few dozen spectators watched. Sometimes they talked about other things. One of the regulars here remembered a fine soccer player he'd known. The Taliban chopped off his hand for stealing, he says, and nobody has seen him for a while. Mostly the spectators watched silently, rarely shouting or cheering. Clapping was prohibited under the Taliban. It wasn't much of a game anyway. The yellow team won 3-0. The crowd was a fraction of the size that turned up to watch the Taliban executions. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Kandahar, Afghanistan.